but you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey, you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey.
Good evening and welcome to the Carolyn Holt Show. I have missed you guys, but I'm here, and tonight we will be talking about the stress that the election is having, in particular on women, but just the stress of the election period. But before I get into that and my guest, I just want to send condolences to the Jackson family. Most of you here in Los Angeles know, E.J. Jackson, the owner and founder of Jackson Limousine Service, passed away. And it's a sad occasion because so many people benefited by the generosity and the kindness and the thoughtfulness of Mr. Jackson. And if you worked in the entertainment industry, there's no way not to know who Mr. Jackson is. As a matter of fact, he started his own limousine service in order to address the void that existed in, quote unquote, South Central Los Angeles. And the community just owes him a debt of gratitude for all of his kindness that he always showed on Thanksgiving in particular, but throughout the year. He was just a kind person who really did have a sense of community. And I read in the paper where his kids said that he made the community his life. Well, you know, I believe that, but we just want to say to the family that while we feel your loss as well, just know that this man did some outstanding things to help the community, and the community will always remember that about him. So again, condolences to the Jackson family. And just know that our thoughts and our prayers are with you. And while you may be saddened by the loss, we are here to support you as you move forward. Okay? Well, tonight, I'm going to talk about the election. I never talk about politics or any of that on this show because I created this show to inspire people. But in reading information regarding what's going on with the election process, there was a report in Time earlier about the stress that the election is causing people, and in particular, women. It says about 52% of women are really feeling a lot of fear and a lot of insecurity concerning the election. And about 39% of men have reported feeling much of the same way. But I guess I'm here to offer some things that I think that might be beneficial. But I'm not here by myself. By phone tonight, I have Pastor Melvin Herndon. Now, Pastor Herndon has been here before, and he did an outstanding job, and he did he covered a very difficult subject matter. And so tonight, I think that with his presence, he will be able to help us better deal with this stress, considering the election will be over tomorrow. somebody will win, and perhaps this country will make history, because if Hillary Clinton is elected president, she will be the first woman to ever do so. So that is something to look forward to. So without further delay, Pastor Herndon, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening to you, Carolyn.
Good evening.
And ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
Well, I am doing super. How about yourself?
I am doing super, super. Thank you for asking.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, if two super people are doing the show tonight, then I tell you, I guess we can
get
only...
get any better than that, yes.
I guess not.
On this side of eternity, yes.
Well, I thank you so much for agreeing to help me out on this, because this is something that's causing a lot of problems for people. But like I said, tomorrow night around this time, we should have a better sense about who will be the president. Uh-huh. And also, if the person that does not become president will do what might be necessary to unite the country.
Right.
So we want to support whomever the winner is, because that's the Democratic way.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, I think people, the fear and the stress is that they're not sure how to select between the lesser of two evils. And I know.
I'm hearing that quite a bit.
Yes, and I know.
About 15 minutes ago.
About 15 minutes ago?
Yes.
You heard somebody make that statement?
Somebody just made that statement.
Oh, my. Well, in making that statement, what in their mind, in terms of it being the lesser of two evils, which evil were they leaning toward?
Well, you know, I really believe that they were leaning toward, I'm trying to walk upon this very carefully,
okay,
and lightly. In other words, I'm doing what one of my friends would suggest for me not to do. I'm tipping through the tulips.
Oh, okay.
And I believe that with respect to what I understand about the person's political choice, it would be for Miss Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
That's what I believe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I think this, that while they both have issues,
uh-huh,
we want somebody that perhaps at least we can work with their issues. So
yes.
With that said, I'm going to share with you some information.
Sure.
That I found in Time regarding this issue of stress and fear around this election. Now, for women, the problem and the fear is about the statements of Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
Now, Donald Trump apparently has said things that bother women. And
uh-huh,
women don't want to feel like they will have to digress, because they feel that they've made a lot of progress in this country in terms of just being respected, but in terms of being able to get equal pay for what they do, help when they need it for their children and for themselves. So
uh-huh,
they don't want to feel like they're going to go or have to go backwards. But the statements made in October by Mr. Trump has created a sense of uneasiness.
Uh-huh.
And the sad part is that in his rhetoric, especially toward his opponent, Mrs. Clinton,
uh-huh,
he sees her as a crooked person. And he says that every opportunity that he has.
Uh-huh.
And women are saying, well, now, wait a minute. This may be a case of the pot calling the kettle black, because it's their understanding that after the election that Mr. Trump may face some very serious charges and court time based on some of his dealings with people.
Uh-huh.
So they're trying to understand, well, why is it that Hillary Clinton is described as crooked, but Donald Trump does not seem to understand that the actions that are being taken against him seem the same way in the view of the public. So they don't know how to square that. And so they've been going to their therapist. And what I guess I would like your help with tonight is to kind of help sort out how do you square two wrongs? Because that's seemingly where women find themselves. And so with that on the table, we'd like to hear not only what you're hearing regarding what people have to say about both of these candidates, but what they might consider doing in moving forward and take some of the stress out of the process of choosing one or the other.
Okay. Boy, that's a tough one.
Well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Well, that's okay. I would like to believe if we could take a deep breath and then go to the Word of God. I happen to believe,
okay,
being a pastor and a servant of God, that the Bible is the standard, first of all, for everyone, but more specifically, God-fearing people.
Okay.
I also believe that if we are willing to test that, mm-hmm. that is, that the Bible is for everyone, but especially God-fearing people or people who are religious, then we will open the Bible up and we will find or search diligently for absolute truth.
Okay.
Truth has two other counterparts. Truth is relative, meaning that it relates to other truths.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is also progressive, meaning that it can go to higher truths. But truth also is absolute. And the absolute truth, in my limited understanding, is what one passage of Scripture, when I open my Bible, and it's in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and it's verse number 6.
Okay.
And it says this, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth.
Uh-huh.
I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Now, the reason I said that is not to be preachy or to give a sermon or sermonette, but to show that if we open the Bible and we, whether we be God-fearing people or whether we be religious people or not God-fearing people or not religious people, if we just open that Bible,
okay,
and we consider for a moment that there is an absolute truth there, and that truth is in a subject, the subject person of Christ, and not the objects around us, that might give us a little bit of direction in terms of what we are talking about tonight. For example, the next one that would line up with that, these are scriptures, and then I'm going to give two examples, going back to what you said. There's another one that goes hand in hand with John 14:6. It is in 1 Timothy. This is another book. It's in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1 Timothy chapter 2. And here's what it says in verse 1. It says, first of all, I ask that you pray for all people. Ask God to bless them and give them what they need and give thanks. He says in the writing, you should pray for the rulers and for all who have authority.
Okay.
Which brings in what we are talking about this evening. One of the key elements that can move the masses of people, that can help all of us, and certainly in this election, is that everybody, the people that are God-fearing, the people that are religious, the people that don't even know they should be doing so, everybody should be praying. Everybody,
okay,
yes, should vote, but also everybody should be praying. He says you should pray for rulers and for all who have authority and those trying to get it. Pray for those leaders so that we, here's the reason for that, he says, so that we can live quiet and peaceful lives in full devotion to God and respect for him.
Great. Now, that is so good. We're off to a great start, but we have to go to break.
Mm-hmm. problem.
And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion. Yes. But thank you so much for the input. We're off to a very good start. So we'll be right back.
Sure thing.
Mastering math can be big fun. Fun for you and everyone. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way. Math Maze.
Why not turn math time into fun time with Math Maze, the new game craze. Get yours today at mathmaze.us.
Mom, now you can help your son master math and have big fun. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way.
Math Maze. Make sure your child owns the skills necessary for success in high school algebra. Get it now. MathMaze.us. MathMaze.us.
And now you can help your daughter play it like you know you ought to. Play it each and every day. Master Math the easy way. Say it, play it. MathMaze
cards contain both Spanish and English. Get yours today at MathMaze.us. That's MathMaze.us.
Attention, mothers and sons, fathers and daughters. Come join the 2016 Math Maze Game Tournament, Saturday, December 3rd, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the Carson Community Center. Win trophies and great prizes while playing a card game that helps your kids improve their math skills. Mothers, bring your sons. Fathers, bring your daughters. Register online at mathmaze.us or call 310-697-3177. Sponsored by the Academic Preparation Squad, a California 501c3 nonprofit.
Never would have made, never would have made it. Never could have.
Thank you so much. This is the Carolyn Holt Show, and we are back. My guest this evening is Pastor Melvin Herndon by phone, and he was making some excellent points regarding the election stress that a lot of people seemingly are under, and he was offering up possible solutions because, according to therapists, women seem to be having a lot of stress concerning this election. And the therapists that were mentioned in the article, they all suggested to the women that, well, perhaps you need to come off social media, and you need to reduce a minimum or make a specific time to listen to the news concerning the election. But Pastor Herndon, along with me, because I believe this, that as people, and especially people of God, we need to put our hope in things eternal. Uh-huh. And Pastor Herndon was helping to have a better understanding of that based on Scripture. And with that understanding, we can perhaps reduce the level of stress that we have concerning this particular political cycle. Uh-huh. So... okay, Pastor Herndon, you can finish what you had started regarding helping us to understand perhaps where our hope and our focus should be.
Okay, we left off talking about that whether people, all of us in this nation who are voters, mm-hmm. registered to be so, definitely we should vote, but along with voting, we should be praying.
Yes.
And sometimes people think that prayer is for church people, religious people, church-going folks. And mm-hmm. so they excuse themselves out of praying because they believe praying is something that church people, religious people do. Mm-hmm. We encourage everybody to pray, just like we encourage people to vote, we encourage them to pray. Mm-hmm. Now, someone might say, well, what if I don't believe in prayer? What if I don't believe in the power? I don't know who I'm praying to. Well, sometimes if you just sit back and think about that, you know, in some of the stuff that's going on, not talking necessarily, if I can just veer off and make a point here about the presidential election, but, you know, just reading through some of the other things that we're being asked to vote for, some of the policies, some of the plans,
yes.
some of the notions, some of the so-called things that are being offered as new legislations. All these things, even though there are manuals and books that explain some of those things that you and I should vote for, we still don't understand. And yet some people still vote. My point being that it's okay, and it's never anything wrong with doing too much good. I don't know that you would get in trouble doing too much right. I don't know that you would mess up doing too many things that would be beneficial. People get in trouble when they do things that are wrong. And so we're just suggesting and recommending that, along with everybody voting, pray. That's what we picked up from the scripture that was in 1 Timothy 2 in verse 1 and 2. Now, here's something else I picked up.
Okay.
There's an Old Testament scripture. It was a wise man. His name was Solomon. He had a son who was growing up to be a young, handsome Jewish man, and he wanted him to make sure that he had gotten him proper instruction so he would know how to meet the challenges and the demands of life. And so he wrote to him in Proverbs 16, verse 2, about governmental affairs, because the Jews, even though they, unlike us, were under a democracy. The Jews were under theocracy.
Okay.
The difference is a theocracy is God rule. A democracy is people rule.
Okay.
So God was right in the center of their business. And here's what he wrote to his son. He says, people think that whatever they do is right, but the Lord judges their reasons for doing it.
Mm.
And so when you started out, that's Proverbs 16, verse 2 out of the Easy Read version of the Bible. When we started out, we were talking about how the lesser of two evils. Well, you know, everybody, no matter how good or how bad they are, when they feel like they're okay to some extent, they feel like what they're doing is right. And so on both sides of the fence, with the House of Senate, the House of Congress, with Ms. Hillary Clinton, with Mr. Donald Trump, each one of them, as you mentioned, has their shortcomings. Each one of them has their good. They have their good about them. And, of course, we go to vote. But what we should want to really understand, what we started talking about earlier, is that there's an individual connection here. And this would be where I would actually hang my hat and land my anchor. And here's the third scripture. And it is in Colossians 3 and verse 15.
Okay.
And in Colossians 3 and verse number 15, one of my favorite scriptures, by the way, here's what it says. Because we're talking about ruling, who's going to rule the nation, who's going to rule the country, who's going to rule the United States. And we all know that while yet President Obama has been in office now for 2 terms, 8 years, he still has respect to the House of Senate, House of Congress, and all of them with all of us make the decisions. But the rule and the emphasis of ruling is put on the president in our country. Now, notice what Colossians 3 and verse number 15 says.
Okay.
It says, let the peace that Christ gives rule your thinking. Now, while we are looking at the person who will rule the nation, our country, the United States of America, we want to also look at who is ruling our thinking. Who is ruling how we feel?
Okay.
Who is ruling our actions? And the reason we point at that, because even though this is a very critical time for our country, and you're very, very correct, Carolyn, because this will be not only the second historical landmark, the first, a black president, now a woman president, our country is just like rocking and rolling and reeling. It's like, you know, we're going through all kind of changes. We're going through stuff we've never done. And so people are very uneasy about that. But, you know, our forefathers, when they wrote the Constitution of the United States of America, it didn't have a slant or a tainted situation with gender. Anybody can become president if they qualify. Anybody, it doesn't matter about male or female. And I happen to believe, in my limited, humble opinion, that some of the fervor and some of the high polluting ideas, even from, I believe, sometimes the campaigns that are on Mr. Trump's side of the fence, maybe I say, because Ms. Clinton is a woman, and we've never had a woman.
Okay.
I think that's for some of the men who, perhaps like him and others, that they have a chauvinistic view of that men run the world. You know, James Brown said, this is a man's world. And I think that we've been, for centuries and all the time, used to men being president. So this is kind of shocking the boots and the socks off of us to have a woman even be considered this close to being president of our country. But I say again, we must realize that there is peace And we need to let the peace that the good Lord gives rule our hearts, no matter who is chosen to rule the nation.
You make a very good point. You know, change is difficult mm-hmm. for people because there are so many variables in the unknown.
Yes.
But as you said, many times when you're making a major decision, you have to use something that's above and outside of your comfort zone
right.
to guide you.
Mm-hmm.
And with this particular election cycle, with all of its progress in the event that Mrs. Clinton becomes president, the progress in the sense that this nation would be led by a woman, mm-hmm. We have made a lot of missteps, I believe, in
yes.
terms of not focusing on helping people understand the benefit of uh-huh. having a Mr. Trump in office or
right.
a Mrs. Clinton in office, because I think that that's what the people really do want. Now, uh-huh. I think the media plays a major role in that some of the salacious talk gets played up because it is a 24-hour news cycle.
Yes.
And so they have to fill it with something. But I think that they help in helping people lose focus and lose sight of what's at stake. And
yes.
when you are choosing a leader, it is important that you know and you have information from which to make your decision. But if the only information you have is personal issues of character, that's not enough to be a leader of a nation.
That's
so I appreciate you offering up specific scripture to take into consideration to calm the fears and the nerves of people, because the unfortunate thing is that this cycle will happen every 4 years. So
sure.
we should not let this particular cycle of nastiness, I guess is the only way to put it, get us off course in terms of what our responsibilities are. Now, you were talking about people were trying to make a decision about the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part for me is that there are a lot of people who still say, well, you know what? I'm just not going to vote. My vote does not matter. The things that that they talk about, they don't necessarily concern me, which is not true. And I think
right.
that if you are an African-American or a black person, those words should not come out of your mouth, because people have lived, have died for that process to take place. So what would you say to encourage people to not use the fact that they believe that their vote does not count as a reason to not make a choice?
Mm-hmm. I would say, for instance, voting is not only a privilege, it gives us the opportunity to exercise freedom and liberty that
mm-hmm.
has been given to us in this country, but it is personal. And my personal choice in voting is my personal choice, but there's another area that needs to be considered, and this is where, once again, I would like to bring in a biblical principle. And,
mm-hmm.
and it says this, it's in Proverbs 29, verse 2, and it says this, show me a righteous ruler, and I will show you a happy people. Show me a wicked ruler, and I will show you a miserable people.
Okay.
I think if people would go back who are having a struggle with thinking that their vote may not have significant impact or value in terms of this election, if they just go back, you have access to a computer, have access to the library, have access to your phone, cell phone, and just type in there presidents of the United States and just look at some brief captions of the history and backdrop and background of all those men.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever does that will see that there have been some that have been righteous rulers, and there have been many of them that were unrighteous.
Yes.
And I think that what people, when they don't do that, and they're thinking that, okay, because I don't like this person or because I do like this person, like you indicated, that's not enough. What has to be considered is not only the person's background in terms of and where they came from, but how are they going to lead our country, lead our nation, lead us in a very righteous manner? That's what it needs to be looked at.
And not only a righteous manner, but a very responsible.
Responsible, exactly.
Yes, because the United States has to interact with the rest
of the world.
The world.
That is correct.
And we need to always keep that first and foremost in our minds, because we don't own and rule the world, even though we believe that.
Right.
That's not true. Other people's lives are simply as important as people who live in America. And with that said, I'm thinking about just here in California. We have a lot of issues on the ballot that people feel are necessary. One of the two of them, I should say. One is to legalize marijuana. The other is concerning the death penalty. Both of those are very weighty issues, but for but for different reasons.
Yes.
Now, the legalization of marijuana has a lot of support, because there are other states, like the state of Colorado and other states, that have already legalized. And when I say legalized, this is, I guess, the recreational aspect of marijuana, because I think medical marijuana, I guess you can get that anywhere. I know in the state of California you can. But the recreational use of marijuana. And the state of Colorado, they are saying that the legalization there has literally benefited the state in ways that they never imagined financially.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some would say it has also benefited because I guess there's this distinction between marijuana versus, I guess, drinking. And the statistics say that drinking and driving is very bad, and it causes a lot of accidents and fatalities. Whereas recreational marijuana use, the statistics don't support that. If you are a recreational user, that you can, I guess, have an accident and kill people at the same rate as drunk driving does. So that is their argument, is that it can't be all bad. Plus, it's it has, you know, great. It's been proven that it has great medicinal use, and for people who have long-term illnesses, this can be a source of comfort for them.
Uh-huh.
So I guess the idea is, do you legalize just because the people want it and they say so, or do you further look at perhaps if there's a negative impact to be had by the legalization?
Well, you know, it's interesting that when we go back in the Old Testament to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and chapter 1 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And God saw everything that he had made, he had created, and behold, it was good and very good."
Yes.
And before verse 31, verse 30, God says, by Moses is writing, and to every beast of the field, and every bird in the air, and everything that creeps upon the earth, the insects, where there is life, he says, I also have given every green herb for food, and it was so.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that God did, even the trees that are fruit trees yielding seeds for food, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
The problem became and is that what we have done to what God made good, we have done things to cause it to be bad because there's excess.
Mm-hmm. So overindulgence.
Yes. We talk now about addictive behavior. For example, everybody's reason for, as you indicated, recreational purposes, medicinal mm-hmm. purposes, or just because I want to try it out and I want to do it, you know, other states are doing it, so why can't we do it? And I think that when a person argues or discusses from the vantage point that somebody else is doing it, why can't I? Or it only does this much to them, but we have a different reason for using it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think that one of the things that has to be considered in the discussion is also this. Number one, personally, how do I want to be seen as a respectable person? Having respect for myself, having respect for my children, my family,
uh-huh.
having respect for my community, having respect for people I work with. Because realistically, even though sometimes legislations and laws are passed, that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to fall hook, line, and sinker into them and go along with them, especially if they contradict or violate the principles of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is clear on that. It says in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God all the time rather than man. So even though there may be legislation lobbying, there may be something that is being said, okay, you can do it, it's legal, it's okay, it's good, it's all good, there's nothing wrong with it, that doesn't mean that it's okay for Christians. Christians, God-fearing people, once again, have to determine what does God say about it? What does the Bible indicate in the matter? And the Bible always indicates that we are to consider the impact that anything we do has on our relationship with God, has on our relationship with other people, that we're not bringing them hurt, harm, or danger, that we're not interfering with our ability to be able to show them that we are living in this world, but we're not of this world. Now, if something takes place or we do something that has and that makes us distracting rather than attractive to people in the world, then we obviously have violated the standard of God's word. That would be my statement to that. I mean, it's not, we can't pull a scripture and yank a scripture out of the Bible and say it is a sin to use marijuana. It is a sin to smoke weed, any of that stuff. We can't say that. But if we have to consider as people of God, what is the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
We should never just do things just because somebody else is doing them. You know, somebody goes in the store, they go to get something. I don't go in the store just because they went in. I have a reason for going in the store. Somebody drives down the street because they're taking a drive on a Sunday afternoon. I'm driving down the street on Sunday afternoon, but I'm not taking a drive. I may be getting ready to go to church service. But my point being, sometimes people fall into the mold of being followers and not know why they're following. They don't know what they're doing. They're just going along.
Okay.
I mean, every time we do something, we need to always ask questions, make sure we have clear direction, and we're not just on a tangent or we're not following a trend because that's what everybody else is doing.
Okay. Well, I can understand that. But, you know, there's a joke going around that says that that in California they have to really be careful about this ballot, this particular measure, because the people, especially the recreational users, may oversleep and not get up and
go vote.
And so, you know, they may not get what they want anyway. Now,
Yeah. You
know, I would say to them, don't let that be true. Prove the people wrong. If
right,
you are
exactly.
really responsible, don't let that be true. But one of the other hot button issues is the issue of the death penalty. And I think that this causes people a lot of stress because it is seen to be disproportionate in how it gets administered. So
right.
It is recommended that the death penalty the death penalty be done away with and just put people, I guess, on, what is it called, a life without parole, and give them a job and let them become productive citizens and pay restitution for what they've done while, as you always say, while they're on this side of eternity.
Eternity.
So what's your thought about that in terms of the issue of the death penalty? And we're not trying to determine how people should vote. We're just talking about how they think relative to voting. So,
okay. Once again, if we go to the Bible in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, all of you must obey the government rulers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said something very key, a very significant point, that even though we have laws, sometimes those who are enforcing or making the laws don't follow them themselves. With recognition to that, we're not talking about that brand. We're not trying to say that just because these people are enforcing the laws, they are law makers, that they are law keepers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we're trying to say, I believe, is all of us, including them, must obey the government rulers. Everyone who rules was given the power to rule by God.
Mm-hmm.
And all those who rule now were given that power by God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul, in his writing to the Roman Christians at that time, he gives them a reason for that. He says in verse 2, Romans 13, so anyone who is against the government is really against something God has commanded. Now, that would be unless the government is against God, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people say, what if the government? Well, if the government is against God, then we don't follow the government. He says, those who are against the government bring punishment on themselves. And what Paul then says, which is very interesting, I believe fits what we're talking about. People who do right don't have to fear rulers, but those who do wrong must fear them. Do you want to be free from fearing them? Then do only what is right, and they will praise you. Rulers are God's servants. This is what we got to understand. Rulers are God's servants to help us. But if we do wrong, we have a reason to be afraid. They have the power to punish. This is Romans 13:4. They have the power to punish, and they will use it. They are God's servants to punish those who do wrong. And lastly, in verse 5, it says, so we must obey the government, not just because we might be punished, but because we know it is the right thing to do. Just like paying taxes. We don't want to pay taxes. We frown when it's time to pay taxes.
Uh-huh.
We try to get out of paying taxes, but it's interesting, we always want a refund. And so therefore, you have one of my friends say, well, Melvin, you got to be kidding, Pastor, because the government has discovered a legal way to actually, in a matter of speaking, a figure of speech, put a gun to your head and pull the trigger and get away with it. You know, they're collecting money from us, which money they are putting in the pockets. I said, well, maybe that's true, but that still doesn't excuse you and I from paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And so point being that the death penalty, if we go back in the Old Testament, when the Bible says in Exodus 20, God said, thou shalt not kill, it's translated in the Hebrew, you shall not murder. But all through the Old Testament, up to the New Testament, this scripture, God has had people who he has assigned, who he has sanctioned, and who he has given the authority that when somebody does something against his will or against the law that he put in motion, they are to be destroyed, they are to be punished, they are to be chastised, they are to be disciplined. God has that all over his word. And so even though I think some of that has to do with because of the uprisings and some of the things we see and hear going on and the atrocities on the side of the law keepers and the lawmakers, there's a push there. But I believe that there has to be an extreme manner of discipline, method of discipline, that I do believe the Bible supports. And I happen to support that because it's to keep us in balance. And though the rulers have done wrong, we're not going along with the wrong. We're going along with the, those who do right. That would be my statement.
Well, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, that's what we're going to talk about is balance, because I think once
you get
a handle on balance, it's amazing what can happen. So stay with us.
All right, sure.
Mastering math can be big fun. Fun for you and everyone. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way.
Sing, play, Math Maze.
Why not turn math time into fun time with Math Maze, the new game craze. Get yours today at mathmaze.us.
Mom, now you can help your son master math and have big fun. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way.
Sing, play, Math Maze.
Make sure your child owns the skills necessary for success in high school algebra. Get it now. MathMaze.us. MathMaze.us.
And now you can help your daughter play it like you know you ought to. Play it each and every day. Master Math the easy way. Say it, play it.
Math Maze cards contain both Spanish and English. Get yours today at MathMaze.us. That's MathMaze.us.
Attention, mothers and sons, fathers and daughters. Come join the 2016 Math Maze Game Tournament, Saturday, December 3rd, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the Carson Community Center. Win trophies and great prizes while playing a card game that helps your kids improve their math skills. Mothers, bring your sons. Fathers, bring your daughters. Register online at mathmaze.us or call 310-697-3177. Sponsored by the Academic Preparation Squad, a California 501c3 nonprofit.
I need you right away. I need you now.
Thank you so much for joining the Carolyn Holt Show this evening. Tonight we're talking about the stress of this election cycle. We have as our guest Pastor Melvin Herndon, and he is talking to us about the biblical way to handle some of these fears that that we have. There are a lot of people that have gone to therapy to be able to create some kind of peace about all of this. And Pastor Herndon is sharing with us from the Word of God so that perhaps even with the therapy and the Word of God, we can create some balance in our lives in order to move forward with purpose. So when we went to break, he was talking about how to balance things in your life. And if we're going to use for the premise here tonight that we are to build our hope on things eternal, we have to figure out if we're going to have eternal priorities, we have to figure out how to start to grow in the, I guess, in the contentment of that.
Yes.
So, Pastor Herndon, are you back?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So, you talked about earlier, if you are a Christian, some of the things that you need to do, especially if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is important and it is necessary to create as much balance as possible. So what would you offer in terms of what should be used, what scripture should be used to create that balance?
Another one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1. This is one of the wisest sayings of Solomon to his son Rehoboam, and I believe it's very relevant and practical before the presidential election and all the things that are going on tomorrow. And it says this, I'm going to read it out of modern translation, a couple of ones that are contemporary, and here's what it says. The highest official in Solomon's day was the king. They didn't have presidents, they had kings.
Mm-hmm.
And the men were kings and the women were queens. But
okay.
Solomon, when he writes this, he says, to the Lord, a king's mind is like a ditch used to water the fields. He can lead the king wherever he wants him to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another rendition of that. The king's heart, his mind, is in the hands of the Lord.
Okay.
It is like the water stream, and by him it is turned in any direction at his pleasure. One more. It says, the Lord controls the rulers just as he determines the course of the rivers. So, if I understand that correctly, though it is important who is elected tomorrow, we must remember who is in control and has always been.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has always been in control. He always will be in control. And forever he's in control. There's a scripture in Hebrews 13 and verse 6 and 7. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday,
mm-hmm.
today,
mm-hmm.
and forever.
Mm-hmm.
And while yet we will have a new president of our country tomorrow, we had a president that started 8 years ago. He was new. The Lord didn't stop ruling then. He didn't stop controlling then. He didn't go and hide and play hooky then. He didn't disappear and become invisible. He didn't go back as a rabbit was put back in a hat. The Lord was still in control. For the 8 years that President Obama has been president, and if he was in control then, and he was, and he mm-hmm. is, then he will continue to be in control tomorrow and beyond.
And, you know, one of the things I think that people should think about in terms of electing a president, there's something that you can do. Because
yes.
if you treat your fellow man better, the president can focus on some other things. Often, we are too lazy to just do the things that we are able to do. We're looking for the president to just guide our entire lives. And that's
right.
not necessarily even necessary.
Right.
So
right.
I think if we use some of the principles that we have been given by God in terms of loving our fellow man and showing mercy on our fellow man and taking care of those things that we can do, I think it is remarkable what can happen, and we may even grow into a country. Maybe we don't even need a president, just like Israel felt that they needed a king, and they kept insisting upon one. Maybe if we just do some of the things that we know to do, we may discover, okay, well, maybe a president is not necessarily what we need, but we may need something.
Oh,
so,
I long, yes, you said some remarkable words there, Carolyn. I long for the day if we could ever get back to the theocracy as opposed to the democracy. A lot
uh-huh.
of people don't understand that because they may or may not be. A lot of us do, but there are a lot of people that don't because
right.
this is all we have known since our birthing in this country.
Right.
But actually, historically, the idea of the presidency or the president and all the things we're doing comes from the history of the Israelites wanting a king.
Mm-hmm.
And so God has never, ever wanted to be substituted for what man's control would try to put into place. But because God is so good,
mm-hmm.
he's allowed us to have our presidents and our houses of Senate and the House of Congress and all the things that we're doing. That's just how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees, and even though situations and circumstances out of control, but he's not out of control.
Right.
People think that he is because he's so good. He allows so much to go on without stepping in and interfering until he gets ready. and because he operates that way, people are taking advantage of God's goodness. And they don't understand his workings, that he will wait and wait and wait and let people think they're getting away with everything, and absolutely
mm-hmm.
they're getting away with nothing.
Right.
So I like the fact that, you know, what you said is very true. There are a lot of things. If we would do the things that were right, we would need all these propositions. We would need a bunch of lobbying. We would need legislations. You know, we'd be standing around saying, hey, okay, I'm just going to keep treating, you know, we wouldn't need the laws.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ones especially that are very tenuous and those ones that are more directing us into things that I believe we already know to do.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, the Bible says all the law is summed up in one word. When we love one another the way the good Lord does, then we're not going to mistreat anybody anyway.
Amen. Well, that is true. And while people say, oh, you know, that's, I don't believe that. And it's interesting because the people who make that statement, they've never tried to love anybody and treat anybody right. So it's right. probably true for them. Right. But there is nothing to support the fact that if you are found doing right consistently. Now, it's not to say that people won't try you and that things won't happen in your favor. I'm not saying that. But it is still incumbent upon you to do what's right in spite of mm-hmm. what others are doing. But right. We are often like children. We don't want to take responsibility for our choices. And right. So therefore, we like to put our bad decisions off on somebody else and do like the comedian used to say and just say, well, you know, the devil made me do it as exactly. if that's a sufficient answer to our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say I really appreciate your input tonight. I believe that what you've offered up has calmed some nerves. And moving forward, they won't be driven by fear. They have some word to live on and to stand on. So I thank mm-hmm. you so much, and I appreciate yes. your input.
Thank you.
Well, you are most welcome. I just want to say, though, it's just important, though, that tomorrow take the opportunity to become engaged and let your voice be heard through your vote. They are not going to put That's a right. microphone on the street and let That's you right. talk and tell That's them right. what to do.
Exactly.
So the only way that you can get feedback and a response for how you feel about things is what you say with your vote. So
Amen.
Take the opportunity tomorrow and vote and exercise that privilege that you have. Thank you so much for joining the Carolyn Holt Show tonight. And as always, we want to let you know that we're here to help you to move from misery to magnificence and from subpar to spectacular. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you so much.
Can be big fun, fun for you and everyone. Play it each and every day. Master Math the easy way.
Sing, play it. Math Maze.
Why not turn math time into fun time with Math Maze, the new game craze. Get yours today at mathmaze.us.
Mom, now you can help your son master math and have big fun. Play it each and every day. Master Math the easy way.
Sing, play it. Math Maze.
Make sure your child owns the skills necessary for success in high school algebra. Get it now. MathMaze.us. MathMaze.us.
And now you can help your daughter play it like you know you ought to.
Play it each and every day. Master Math the easy way.
Say it. Play it. Math Maze.
Math Maze cards contain both Spanish and English. Get yours today at MathMaze.us. That's MathMaze.us.
Attention, mothers and sons, fathers and daughters. Come join the 2016 Math Maze Game Tournament, Saturday, December 3rd, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the Carson Community Center. Win trophies and great prizes while playing a card game that helps your kids improve their math skills. Mothers, bring your sons. Fathers, bring your daughters. Register online at mathmaze.us or call 310-697-3177. Sponsored by the Academic Preparation Squad, a California 501c3 nonprofit.
But keep your head up, head up.